Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and I hope you have a great week and a time of real rejoicing with you and yours and however you're going to spend Thanksgiving. And so what I want to do is just kind of lay the foundation for that, which is what we're doing in this entire series, and you've seen the four messages. And so it's going to take us really to the first Sunday in December to finish this, and then we'll get into Christmas. We're going to be talking about the names of our Lord during the Christmas season, so I'm looking forward to spending that time with you as well, the good Lord willing. And so if you want to open your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture. If you are a regular reader of the Word of God and a regular attender to worship, and especially at Thanksgiving season, you've probably heard this passage many, many different times. But I pray today we'll hit on something fresh and new that will speak to your heart and will really talk to you. And let me just remind you, if I remember it again, I'll say it again before we all leave. At the conclusion of the service, Stephen Jansen, who's a member of our fellowship and also overseeing, Love Inc. Thank you. Thank you for thinking of that. Stephen oversees Love Inc. My point is, many of you from time to time are asking, you know, are there families with legitimate needs that we can consider helping at the Christmas season? And that's what Love Inc. does. They legitimize needs, and so he will be there in our missions room following the service this morning. And if you'd like to go by and just consider a family that you'd like to help, well, you can do that, and that'll be immediately following our time in here this morning. So if you get out your life point outline, you'll find it in your Sunday bulletin if you haven't already done that. What we're doing is I'm unpacking for us during these weeks of Thanksgiving biblical reasons, and I call them pillars, if you will, that just hold up the whole idea of me having a heart of thanks to the Lord during this season of the year. And the choir did a great job of bringing that up to us, didn't they? Let's give them a hand clap. Will you do that? Just thank them again. Yeah. You know, that is so good. We appreciate Pastor Stacy and the team. Thank you for working so hard on that. And so today, the pillar I want us to look at is the whole thing about thanksgiving. Giving thanks is God's will. And I don't know of anything that's really any more of a pillar for me to be thankful at this season of the year and all through my year than the fact that I understand it is the will of my Father who is perfect. He understands everything. And the God who is God, who is over everything, who absolutely controls everything, everything that's going on in your life and my life, that God says, in everything, what? That is a huge statement. It doesn't permit a yeah, but. And our text declares this clarity as a truth, but the point is, my life experiences challenge that. I'm supposed to give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So what I want to do, I want to tackle the obvious from such a command, the stuff that's rolling around in your head and mine. And that is this: is it possible for me to be thankful when I'm in a period of my life that everybody would agree that's really bad? What's going on in your life sucks. And maybe a pastor's not supposed to say that in the pulpit, but you were thinking it. So, you know, just go ahead. Is it possible to be thankful when everything
going on in my life right now or your life is bad or everything going on is difficult. It's just hard. And it doesn't let up. It just stays difficult. Or it's just dark. You know, and I think when I talk about it being dark, it's like, I know that God is there, but I have no idea where he is. I can't reach out and touch him. And so if you look at your life point outline, here's the first insight I want to give you. Thanksgiving is a difficult time for many. And you can say Thanksgiving 2018, maybe, is a difficult time for a lot of people. For some in our fellowship and some perhaps watching this morning online or will be watching on television at another time, maybe it's because this year is the year that the doctor looked at them and said, it's cancer. And I understand the impact of those words, and so do many of you. Maybe 2018 is the year that your spouse who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, they walked out. Just walked out. Maybe for 2018, your new normal is chronic pain. It doesn't stop. Or maybe 2018 is a year that because of recent events, a life dream that you have had and nurtured in your heart never has been more dead than it is right now. And see, the issue is that with regards to our text, the text is a command. It's not a suggestion. You know, like if you were to feel like it, this would be maybe a good time to be thankful. That's not what it is. God says this is a command, and it applies to every day of my earthly life. And so if I want to know what is the will of my Father today when I got up on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, what is the will of God for me in 2018? The will of God for me, beyond question, beyond a shadow of a doubt, without any kind of confusion at all, the will of God for every breathing human being in this building is give thanks. God said, that's what I'm looking to hear from you. But here's the thing. The key to God's command is with the prepositions. And the prepositions here, God says, give thanks in everything, not for everything. Aren't you glad? The preposition is what saved me on that one. In everything, give thanks. He doesn't say for everything, give thanks. Why? Because there's a lot of bad stuff happens in our lives. And any way you slice it, it's bad. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of evil. And I want to tell you something. God does not call upon me or you to give thanks for what is evil. I don't thank God for evil. I don't thank God for sin that is committed against me or somebody I love or some member of my church family. I don't give God thanks for that. I don't thank God that somebody in my fellowship has cancer. I don't thank God that somebody in my fellowship, my family, has lupus. I don't give thanks to God when a female known to me or somebody in close proximity, some woman, was raped. And I never give God thanks when a child is molested, ever. Ever. Why? Because it's not God's will. I don't do that. The Bible says that there are some things that you ought to get mad about. If you don't ever get mad, something's wrong with you. There's some things in life that ought to make us hopping mad. We should be angry at some things because being angry means that we love. If somebody hurts my grandkids, I don't care if I am God's hired holy man. It's going to make me mad. I love my grandkids. All right? I'll get on them, but you just leave them alone. They're mine. Right? That's how you feel? That's the way we feel. And so the Bible doesn't say to be thankful for that. Because if God told me to be thankful for everything, that makes my Father a tyrant. And God's not that. God's not a tyrant. We give thanks in everything because even in the dark times, the times when life is falling apart, there's always something good for which I can say, Father, thank you. And so I know you're wanting me to unpack that, so let me do that. All right, let me just kind of unpack what I'm talking about. I've got two things. I'm going to kind of just tackle them and stretch them out, so I'm only going to give you two this morning. Number one, I can be thankful for God's grace in my life, regardless of what's going on. Regardless of what's taking place around me, I can be thankful for the grace of God in my life, the grace that God shows me. I can be thankful for that. So here's a definition of grace that I think you all probably know, but it's good to just say it. Grace is God giving me what I need, not what I deserve. That's grace. It's when God gives me what I need. You see, everything that I have in life, everything you have in life is a gift of the grace of God to you. The air you're breathing right now. You know whose air that is? That's God's air. He lets you and I use it. The beat of my heart, my eyes that can see, my ears that hear with help. And I'm grateful for the help. Legs that walk, hands that can grasp, even though old Arthur, as Mama said, may give you trouble, you can still grasp with them. You see, everything in my life I owe to Him, and so do you. Everything is a gift from God to you. God gave you your mind. God gave you your sight. God gave you your hearing. He gave you your voice. In fact, Isaiah 44, verse 2 says, the Lord made you and formed you from the womb. What that means is, if God hadn't decided to create me, I would not exist. God was in control of all that. Bible teaches the Lord is Lord over the womb. He causes men and women to be born. And the very fact that I am going to heaven, how many of you are going to heaven? Raise your hand. Just give testimony. Listen, the very fact you're going to heaven is a gift from God. It is a gift. You just need to think, this is what we think about this Thanksgiving season. Ephesians 2, verse 8 in the New Century Version. You have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. Listen to that again. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. My mama's in heaven. My daddy's in heaven. How many of you got people in heaven? You know they're there. But listen, God is saying they didn't earn their way there. They did not work their way there. They did not buy their way there. They did not bargain their way there. There is no braggadocious boulevard in heaven that everywhere you go in glory, they're giving thanks to God that they are even there. It is by the grace of God. And every now and then, we just need to kind of rehearse that again to take any kind of sense of pride or arrogance out of our heart. Would you say amen? Just say, Father, thank you. I'm going there only because of you. And that's the truth in your outline. Salvation is a gift we receive. And I am saved by trusting and believing that Jesus is God's Son. He died for my sins. He paid for my ticket to heaven. And yet Jesus said, even when I believe, that indeed was a grace gift from the Father. Because Jesus said, no one comes to the Father, comes to me except the Father draw them. The only reason I have believed is because God came after me first. And I want to tell you something. And I'll let you wrestle your theology with this. I give God thanks today He made me willing. Because I wasn't seeking Him. Huh? I was not seeking Him. And He chased me. And on the cross, the Lord cried out three words we should never forget. It is finished. What is finished? I have paid, John, I have paid for your salvation, and it is a gift from me and the Father to you. It is a gift. Never forget that everything you've got in life, ladies and gentlemen, is a gift from God. Psalm 103, David gives us a list of God's grace gifts. It'll do you good just to go back and read that. Thanks for us to be thankful. Let me just read this to you. Listen, he says, I will not forget the glorious things God does for me, his grace gifts. He forgives all my sins by grace. He heals me by grace. He ransoms me from hell by grace. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. All that's by grace. He is merciful and tender toward those who don't deserve it, meaning you and me. He is slow to get angry. Aren't you glad for that one? God is slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. The reality is that if you and I got what we deserve, we would not even exist this morning. And so I, this Thanksgiving season, need to look at everything in my house, everything in my family, everything that is coming to me, everything that I would say is mine, and I need to understand that all of it is what I have because of the grace of God. And so this Thanksgiving season, you can give thanks to God for his grace toward you and toward yours. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Will you bless his name? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And then number two, give thanks for God's plans for me. I give thanks to him for his grace, and I give thanks for his plans that he has for me. Here's the insight in your outline. Not everything that happens in your life, God planned. Now that was worth the price of admission this morning for somebody here. Because you've been slightly ticked at God for a good while because of what happened in your life. And I understand that. But I want you to understand this. Not everything that happens or happened in your life, God planned. A lot of what happens and has happened in my life and in yours is bad, painful, difficult, and tough. But what I need to understand is a lot of stuff that happened in my life did not happen to me because God sent that to me. A lot of bad stuff happened to me in my life, number one, because of my mistakes in judgment. It was me. I went left when I should have gone right. I kept walking when I should have stopped, and I kept talking when I should have shut up. Some of you are grinning because you know that's true. Not me, you. And a lot of what happens in our life is because of our life choices, decisions that we make. So here's the truth of your outline. God has a plan for our life, but that doesn't mean that we're in it. The Lord has a plan. And maybe your life is the way that it is. Maybe my life is the way it is. And I have to consider this. Maybe we're where we are in life because we are out of God's plan for us. That God said no, and we said, I'm gonna anyway. And we went our own way. You have to choose. You see, I have to choose to be in God's plan for my life. That's what the Lord meant when he said in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way that seems right to you. It seems right to you, and it seems right to me, but it ends in death. You remember Jesus said, he said, in life, there's only two roads, right? He said, there is the narrow road, and then there's the, which one? The broad road. And Jesus said, you're on one of those two. This morning, you and I are either on the narrow road or we're on the broad road. And the broad road has a lot of people on it. The majority of the world is on the broad road. The majority of what you see on television is the broad road. That's why we need to be discriminating in our viewing. This would be a good place to say amen. And so the narrow road does not have many people on it. That's why there are so few channels that you can really watch. Because most people are on the broad road. And a lot of people think that God is the source of their trouble. The Lord's doing this to me. That God's the source of my trouble and my suffering. But the Bible says God is a God. God doesn't cause my suffering. Isaiah 53 says God bore my suffering. He bore my suffering on the cross. He died in my place. He offers me hope. And so I want to ask you a question. Can you say that you know you have found peace with him? You see, that's what I want you to ask yourself this Thanksgiving season. Have I really found peace with God? It's Isaiah 53. Listen to what the Bible says. He, Christ Jesus, because Isaiah 53 is a messianic passage. He was bruised for my transgressions. He was wounded for my iniquities. And the chastisement for my sin was laid on him. You see, my Father and your Father in heaven did not plan the sins that you do. He does not plan the sins that other people do. He does not cause us to do that. He does not cause the sins that other people do to you and me that hurt us. God doesn't plan those things. And somebody listening this morning, either here or on that screen, somebody listening to me has gone through some very difficult times. And I want you to understand, this is just like a word to you, that you are where you are, not because God led you into it, but you are where you are because you walked off from him and you did something you should have never done. And you need to think about what that thing was. You did your own thing. Now, but here's, you say, well, Brother John, this is supposed to be an encouraging. It is. And here's the point I want to make. When you and I wander off and we do our own thing, life gets hard. We have difficulties. We have things that happen to us, right? But here's what the Father says to me. God says, you've done your own thing. But he says, I want you to understand. I love you. I have plans for you. And if you come to me, I can bring good to you out of that. What God is saying to me is, even when I wander off from him, the plan that God has for my life is bigger than anything else. And what God says to me in Romans 8 and 28 is, no matter what you do in life, God says, I can fit everything that happens to you. I can take you wandering off. I can take what somebody does to you. I can take whatever happens because my plan is bigger. I can take what's happening in your life and I can fit that into my plan for you and I can still bring good to you. You out of it. Give the Lord amen. Now that's a reason to be thankful. How do you belong to God? How do you get in his forever family? All right, here's the answer. According to the Bible, I get into his family when I lay down my life at the foot of the cross of Christ and I say, Father, I ask you to save me. I ask you to forgive me, and then I walk away. No, that's a misnomer. Father, save me. Father, forgive me, and my life is yours. You are Lord. And I want to ask you, I want you to ask yourself this morning, does my life show that God is Lord in my life? Where is the evidence? The evidence is not that I can go back and say, well, when I was 14, when I was 16, when I was 9, yada, 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 yada. That I wouldn't walk across the street for that. I don't care how much you cried. I don't care how big the crocodile tears were. Doesn't matter. It does not matter what happened back there. What happens is what's going on right now, right? Where is the evidence that that was real? Where's the evidence? Because that's what the Lord is talking about. It is, Father, forgive me. Father, save me. I am yours. I know you died for my sin, and Lord, now I'm going to live for you. I will follow you. Now, let me just add this. Jesus had his favorite term for people who followed him. He called them his sheep. And in John chapter 10, the Lord likens us being saved to being placed into his sheep corral, his sheepfold. And we are like the sheep of his pasture, and he's the shepherd, and he watches over us. And he makes this remarkable statement in John 10, 27. Just listen to what he said, because this is all the basis for being grateful this holiday season. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, Jesus just described who his people are. And he said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what perish? Never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the thing is, my Father has a plan that once I come to faith in Christ in him, God promises to get me home. And I can be grateful for that this holiday season. I can be grateful when I close my eyes. Maybe the doctor has looked at me and said, it's cancer. Maybe things are going on in my life and I don't know what the future holds. And even though that, you know, I've never died before, so I don't really know what that's like. And I think it's natural if you think that maybe your days are shortened, it would be a natural thing to kind of, you know, be a little about that. Because it's never happened before. We don't know how that's going to feel. But the point is that God has given us this assurance that when we close our eyes here, we'll open them there. He said, you'll open them there. Now, how do you explain that? Well, if you could see your life, I know a number of you like to go on these cruise ships. You love doing that. You like people waiting on you. You like being to eat all day long, and you enjoy all that. I get it. I understand. If you work with me here, if you just kind of see yourself as being on a cruise line, okay? So just work with me here. I'm trying to help you see. And say you get on at Fort Lauderdale, and you're going to the Bahamas, Jamaica. I don't care. Pick something. And so you get on there, and the ship heads out. Now listen, as a ship pulls out and it's going to a destination. And every day, you do whatever you want to do. Eat, sleep, eat, exercise, eat, dance. So I keep one foot on the floor. Eat, watch movies, eat. You can do all those things. It doesn't matter what you do. You do anything that you want to do. It doesn't change the destination. Because you're going to wherever you're going. And here's what the Lord says. The Lord says, when you get into my forever family, it doesn't matter what you do every day. I have made you a promise. My plan is that once you are in me, life, your final destination of your life is out of your hands. There may be big storms. There may be darkness. There may be fear. There may be times you wonder if you're going to make it. But God says, I will not let go of you. I will get you home. Give God a hand clap of praise. Will you do that this morning? That is a blessing. Can't we be grateful for that, huh? God's going to get us home. Let me add one more thought on this before we leave it. When tragedy hits, our life falls apart, inevitably, I and you, we all want to know the same thing. Why? Why for this tragedy? And I say this because I want you to understand, I have never had a problem with my faith in him. I've never had a problem with my faith being in the Lord, that I have trusted him with my soul. However, I have struggled with his plan. I trust him. I know God is good. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. But what I battle with at times is I battle with why this is going on in my life. And my temptation in the dark days of my life and the ministry is I look for an explanation. I want to understand why. Why is this happening to me? But let me give you an insight. Let me give you a truth here in your outline. Explanations never, ever comfort. They don't. You say, I disagree with that. Well, let me tell you why I said that. If my sweet wife, if Catherine died tomorrow, even if I understood why, is that going to make me cry less? Is that going to make me battle depression less? You see, the reality is, my brain isn't big enough right now to understand all that is happening in the world, and neither is yours. I don't have enough ability. There are a lot of things that happen to me and happen to my family in life that I will never understand as long as I'm on this planet. It'll never be clear to me until I get to glory. And then I'll understand why, but not down here. Seeking an answer for your pain is a waste of your time. You do not need an explanation. You need the presence of God. You need Him. An explanation is not going to help because you're still wrestling with something. It is His presence. And Romans 8:28 says, now listen, we know that in all things, not some, but all, God works for the good. Not that what happened is good. There's bad in all of our lives, right? But even there, even in the bad, God is working for the good of those who love Him. And what does that mean? For the good of those who love Him. If I love Him, then in the pain of my life, I give my Father, listen, I give Him the pieces I don't understand. And I just lay it in His hands and I say, "This, I give you the pieces of the mess of my life, and you have promised me, you have not told me how you're going to do it, but you have promised me you will bring good to me out of it, and you will make it a blessing to me and to others. And God, you've said you can use the pain of my life to bless others, and I want you to do that." And so this Thanksgiving season, I may not understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I can understand that I have a Father who says, not everything that happens in your life is good. We live in a broken world. And I am not a God who causes your suffering. I am a God who bears your suffering. And even when you have made a mess of your life, my promise to you is, my plan for you is so big and so right and so good. I can take what is bad, I can take what is evil, and I can take what is confusing, and I can pull it into my plan for you. And nothing will be lost. I will take care of you. And so this Thanksgiving, look at the insight in your outline. Our character is the only thing that we're going to take to heaven from earth. I'm not going to take my car, my clothes, or Catherine's china. The only thing I take to heaven is the man I become. Me. The man I become, trusting Him. And this Thanksgiving, God has changes He wants to make in you and me. And God says, I will take everything that comes your way, whether it's because you did it yourself, or it's because somebody did it to you, or it's because you're in a broken world and life happens. My promise is, I will bring good to you if you will trust me. And see, above everything else, I can give God thanks
for heaven. My body's going down in a hole, but I'm going up. Amen? Mom and Daddy wanted to know before they died if Catherine and I wanted to be buried in Arkansas next to them. They had a family plot. And I said, Lord, have mercy, no. I love y'all. And I know I'm going to be dead. But I just want to know at some point there's a chance my kids will come and visit my grave. And they will never come to Arkansas to tend my grave. I have hopes that here in Lufkin, it will at least get a little bit of notice every now and then. And I forgot what my point was for that. You see, I am thankful to the Father that I'm going to heaven. I don't know how I'm going to die, but I know where I'm going to go. The Lord said, I give you a promise, John. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lord's making heaven ready right now. Right now. But maybe not everybody here this morning's going there. And that's how I want to end this. You see, heaven is for God's kids. But not everybody is a child of God. Everybody is a creation of God. But not everybody is a child of God. There's only one way you make it to heaven. You have to ask. We ask the Father to save us. Lord, save me. I give my life to you. And see, God only saves what's given to him. So you've got to ask yourself this Thanksgiving, have I ever laid my life into the Father's hands? Because God will never save you until you lay your life in his hands and say, Father, from this day, I'm yours. I'll follow you. I'll seek to obey you. I'll worship only you. Save me, cleanse me, change me. I'm yours. So would you bow your heads for just a minute? This morning, before you leave, I want to ask you, can you thank the Father in heaven that he has saved you? Or do you this morning need to ask him to wash you and make you clean? Can you this morning say, thank you, Father, for coming after me. Thank you for the blessings of my life. Thank you for being merciful to give me what I need, not what I deserve. Thank you, Father, for hope. Thank you for heaven. I hope that you will do that. And I want to ask you, there is that connect card in the chair in front of you. And I want to ask you, in the quietness of your heart, make that decision.